Well, what is up, Mission? How we doing? My name is Mike Hickerson. I am honored to be the lead pastor of Mission Church. Man, I love what this church is up to. And I don't mean the building, because the building was not great today as the church. I mean the people. And so I know that Jim already said it, but man, we had some trauma in the building today. And we had some volunteers that went over and above and just helped us be able to figure it out and gather. And like people that were just answering calls at way too early in the morning and just on the way to help out. So can you just help me thank them one more time? It's so awesome, so awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So if you're hanging in the lobby, if you're hanging online or hanging out on the patio, welcome, welcome to Mission. So man, I love what God is up to in our church. And we're going to take a pause for a second in the Made New series. I love this series, and so we're probably not hurting anybody's feelings. I love the book of Ephesians. It's an incredible letter of the Bible. It's been super helpful. But as we've been thinking through like what's kind of on the horizon for the fall and kind of what God is up to in our church, we thought of maybe just a second to take a pause and just like if we were hanging out and having coffee, if me and you were like hanging out and we were talking and you're like, okay, what is Mission about and what does God have for me personally? If it was just us having coffee, I know you probably wouldn't want to get coffee with me, but just imagine, just for a suspend reality for a second and say that we were having coffee, like what would you, like, and you ask that, what is Mission about? And what does God have for me? And you were like all the pretense and all the front and all the like, you know, maybe talk a good game, but all that. And you really wanted to know. I thought maybe today we'd have a conversation about what we're about as a church, but also what we're about as individuals and maybe what God has for you. So my prayer is that you would walk out today and you'd go like, man, there is a bigger vision that God has for my life than the way I've been living. And my other prayer is that you would know exactly what we're about as a church together and that you can be in on this, that you don't have to have it all figured out to be in, that you can be in. So one of the things that we talk about with Mission all the time is that we say, we exist. Normally, I'd be up here and we'd be having some fun. I'd be like, and I'd tell you our mission statement. I know you probably have it memorized and you're going to get quizzed on it later. It's a joke. You probably don't. If you're walking in today, you're not going to get quizzed on this, but you're going to hear it a lot. We exist to help people find and follow Jesus. We're not trying to overcomplicate it. That's what we go after together. We think individually that's what we're supposed to be about with our lives. And so I love every word of this. It's we. It's not just me up here. I mean, like, it's not just people on this platform. It's not just paid professional Christian people, because we're a little suspect of them anyway. I know I'm a pastor. I am one of those. And so I know that it used to be high respected. Now it's high suspect. I understand that. So my line when you meet me for the first time is like, yeah, I'm a pastor. Don't hold that against me. Please, don't hold that against me. It used to be like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're on an airplane and you say, hey, what do you do for a living? I'm like, oh, shoot, here we go. So this is, it's like, hey, I'm a pastor. So either immediately the headphones go on or immediately some extra grace required people want to talk to you for a long time about what they think about religion. So it's a lot of fun traveling with me. But it's not just me up here, it's we. We are the church together. It's the people. We exist. It's not just one person's job to accomplish this, but we exist to help. We can't do everything for everyone, but you know what we can do? We can help. Like we don't have it all figured out, but you know what we can do? We can help. You know, like our city, our county, our state, our country, our world, like they may not believe everything that we believe about all the stuff that we believe about Jesus, but you know what I would want them to know about our church? We can help. Like if the Thomas fire happens, you know where I want the church should be, what Mission should be? We should be like on the front lines helping. Like when the biggest issues in our community are there, where should we be? We should be helping. We would want our city to be sad if we were gone, because we're a kind of church that helps. We help people. We're not even categorizing people. I know that's a shock, because everybody's trying to get us to categorize everyone today to know where you fit and if I can like you or not. But we just help people. And we help people find and follow Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's the center of everything. There are so many different perspectives around here. There are so many different backgrounds. There's so many different ethnicities. But you know we are people, and you know what unifies us is that we are Jesus followers. And you may not be a Jesus follower yet. We'll get to that in a second. But we want to help people find and follow Jesus. I cannot find Jesus for people. I have tried so hard to find Jesus for people. But I can help. You know what I can't do? I cannot follow Jesus for people. That's above my pay grade. But I can help. And that's the mission that we're called to together, is that we help people find and follow Jesus, and it matters how we go about that. And so if you've ever been around mission for a little bit, you hear these phrases and you hear these values a lot. If you've ever been to the bathroom at mission or walked down the wet hall this morning, you've seen these on the wall. But these aren't just things we want on the wall. These are things that we want to be lived out, like at where we live, work, and play. We really believe around here that we help people find and follow Jesus, and we believe that anyone is welcome. No matter where you are, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you have going on, no matter what you think about God, Jesus, Bible, or Christians, or like what you think disqualifies you from being able to, like, I know it doesn't rain much, but you think that like lightning is going to strike when you walk on campus. No matter what you would think would disqualify you from being able to be in with God, we would say you're welcome here. Anyone is welcome. If we read our Bible right and we read what God sent Jesus into the mess to rescue and save, not because we're awesome, but because he is, that means anyone can get in. And that's good news for us. But also means that change is possible. Like, we don't have to stay stuck in our hurts and habits and hang-ups. Like, we don't just go like, well, that's just the way I've always been. It's the way I'm always going to be. Like, you knew this when you married me. You knew this when we started dating. This is me. Like, there's no hope for change. There's no way I want to change. There's no desire to change. No, the change is possible. We talk about that God has given us everything that we need to live the life that he's called us to. So you don't have to stay stuck in your was or your is. That there's actually a hopeful is to come, because our future can be full of hope. But we also talk about that no one is perfect. So anyone is welcome and no one is perfect, and change is possible. In fact, if you're around mission long enough, you're going to be talking to a neighbor pretty soon, and you're going to say, like, I just want you to know he's talking about you. So I know he's talking about me because I'm not perfect, but you need to know he's talking about you, that you are not perfect. It's helpful to do as the church together to remember that there are no perfect people except for Jesus. And that's what unifies us. And that rescues and saves. And those facts, that anyone is welcome and change is possible and there's no perfect people, leads us to that there's hope for every single one of us. Because God is who he says he is. And he will do everything that he promised to do. That he sent his son Jesus into the mess. He pre-sent his son Jesus into the mess. Before you were even sucking air. Before you were even screwing up, before you were even in rebellion, he had already pre-sent Jesus into the world so that you could be his much-loved son or daughter. And that means there's hope for us, not because we're awesome and got it all figured out, but because God is, and he rescues and saves. And I don't know what your view of God, Jesus, Bible, or church is, but I want to make sure that we get this right, not just for our church, but realize that God has a plan for your life, no matter where you live, work, and play, and no matter what you think about him, he is for you and has a plan for you to rescue and save and set you on mission with him to reach the world. So it kind of goes like this, and one of the things that I think about for vision, and like as we're thinking about what kind of church is mission, and you're trying to describe it to somebody, and you're like, I don't know, it's like, so I've been saying this recently, and maybe you've heard this, I feel like it's like Home Depot. I know that's funny, but like I this may come as a complete shock to everyone in the room, but I am not handy at all. I don't know why you thought, you're supposed to like be shocked by that, but apparently you're not. Like, we don't have tools in our house. My father-in-law has a lot of tools, so we borrow those. I borrow neighbors. My neighbor's here, like, so I always borrow his stuff. Like, I'm not handy. I'll get you lunch. I'm fun to hang out with. I'll go, if you tell me exactly where the part is in Home Depot, I'll go get it for you. I'm happy to pay for it, but I can't help in any way whatsoever other than those things. Like, I'm the guy that when a family's doing a project, you know, it's a family project, they're like, I'm painting the inside of the closet. They're like, get just there where no one can see it. That's where I am. That's what I do. But what I love about Home Depot is they look at people like me and they're like, wow, you are helpless. But you know what? You can do it. And we can help you. I'm like, you know what? I think I believe Home Depot. I mean, I don't have to watch a lot of videos, and I'm going to have to go back there about 30 times to change a light socket, but I can do it, and they can help me, right? And so when I've been talking about mission, when I've been thinking about, like, who we are as a church and what we're about as individuals, it's helpful for me. We're like Home Depot Church, where we really believe around here that God has given us everything that we need to accomplish the life that he's called us to. And you can do it. And mission as a church and an organization, we can help you. God has given you his word. He's given you his presence. He's given you his son, Jesus. He's given you the Holy Spirit. And he's given you this imperfect body of humans that are going to challenge each other on the way as the church together. God has literally given us everything that we need to live the life that he's called us to. And as mission as Home Depot Church, you can do this. And we can help you. You don't have to stay stuck in the hurts and habits and hangups. You can do it. And we can help you. You can grow spiritually. You don't have to know everything, but you can do it. And we can help you. You don't have to stay isolated. You can do it. And we can help you. Your family doesn't have to stay in the same dysfunction that it's been in for like decades and decades and decades. You can do this. You can be a cycle breaker. And we can help you. There's so much better life on the other side of obeying Jesus and knowing what he has for us. And you can do it. And you can experience it. And we can help you. Can't do it for you. I can't find it for you. But I can help. I can't follow Jesus for you, but we can help. That's what we're about as a church. And it's centered on, like, I know this is crazy, but we have a high view of the Bible. We love the Bible. It's what we're talking about is just not a new brand or idea of church. There's three key scriptures that I want to walk through together that are foundational for our lives as Christ followers, individually and collectively as the church. And so if you're looking for a vision for your life, or if you've just been like putting in the time of religion, or if you like are bored with Christianity, I'm telling you, you are doing it wrong. Because this is the life that we're called to. It's Matthew 28. Let me set the context. It's called the Great Commission. You may not know about that. That's all right. But basically, it's the last recorded words that we have of Jesus as he's getting ready to ascend into heaven. And he's like given the mission, the charge. He's like writing, here's the exclamation point that I want my followers to be about, right? So the last words that he says, he wants to make sure he nails these things. So it's Matthew 28, and it starts like this. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. So it's always helpful for me when I read this to be like, if you don't know where to go and you don't know what to do, just do the last thing that Jesus told you to do. If you don't know where to go, just go where Jesus told you to go before you started doing your own thing, and then go there, and then maybe Jesus will show up like where he told you to be and has the next thing for you. That's just free. That's not even in the message. That's just free. So when they worshiped him, or when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You mean to tell me that you don't have to have everything figured out and complete 100% faith to be following Jesus where he told you to go? You mean to tell me that following Jesus and doubt aren't antithetical, that they can coexist, that unbelief is the opposite of faith, not doubt? You mean to tell me that that's in the Bible, that some of the most key people that were following Jesus had doubts, but those doubts, when they were honest with them, actually were catalysts to their faith to follow Jesus? You ever been there? I mean, we don't talk about that out loud, but we just hold that in our mind and hearts, like I may be excluded if I have these doubts, but not to Jesus. If we're honest with him, he's a big boy God that says, John, just come and follow me. We'll work it out on the way. And it goes on to say this. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is important right here. Because some of us think that we are the boss of our lives. I mean, we don't say that out loud. We just live like it. And we drive like it. Like that everyone in the world should let me do what I want to do. Because I'm the boss of my life. All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. So family, do what I want. Act like I want. Respond how I want. In the manner and speed in which I want. But I have found, and maybe you know this, that our lives are best lived when we realize that we are not in charge. That all authority in heaven on earth has not been given to me or us. It's been given to Jesus as the author and the perfecter of our faith. That it's been given to him. And then he says, therefore, go and make disciples, followers of all nations, especially the ones that speak English, and vote like you. It's a joke. So I was supposed to be a lot funnier. Maybe we need to back up a little bit. And so you may not know this, but if your percentages are right in the world, like English is not going to be the primary language spoken in heaven. We're good with that, right? We gotta get good with that, because that's the way heaven is going to be. All right, do we need to back up and talk a little bit more? All right, I'm nervous now. It's a joke. All right, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to know and kill in a game of Bible Jeopardy everything that I've told you. We think following Jesus is all about the knowledge we acquire and being able to know someone and out-argue someone else. But actually what Jesus calls us to as individuals, as the church, is because he has all authority, as we're going, as we're living this way, we're under his and we're obeying. Like, we want to get under that authority and do what he's already asked us to do. When you're like, well, I don't know everything yet about what I'm supposed to do. That's great. What do you know? Can you obey that? Yeah, but I don't know what I'm like. Where I'm supposed to, like, in a year, I should probably further along in my journey with Jesus, right? Like, I'm kind of a mess. I'm kind of like faking it till I make it here. I don't know. That's all right. Do you know how to do what you know already to do? Let's obey that. Obey everything I've commanded you, and this is the promise of Jesus. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. For every Christ follower that's ever existed, or every Christ follower that's in this room or part of this church, this is our mission. Where we live, work, and play, no matter who we are or where we go or what we do, we are on the journey with Jesus as if he had us as ambassadors making his appeal to the world through us. That we go and we help people find and follow him. We make disciples all over the world and all over our world. That's key scripture number one, foundational. Got to get that right. If you're living a life that's not about that life, then your life is too small. You need a bigger vision for your life that's bigger than just like giving you more power, money, and pleasure. Because that all runs out. It's like an empty bucket that never gets filled. Second key scripture for a church. Like, there are these followers of Jesus, and they were like listening to this great commission, and you won't believe this, but then they did it. They like went and scattered and took this message of Jesus to all of the known world at the time, but they didn't know how to live together as the church. They didn't know what it was supposed to be like. They didn't know how it was supposed to be organized. They didn't know anything. So they just were working it out as they went along the way. And there's this way that these early followers of Jesus, these early Christians, that before a church even existed, there was this way that people lived that was compelling and impacted the world. And we read about it in Acts 2. It's amazing. And this is what it says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. It goes on to say, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. And they sold property and possessions. They were sacrificial. If there were any needs, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone that was in need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There was this way that the church, before they were even known as the church, were called to live. There were these way that these rescued people who believed in Jesus but didn't have it all figured out yet were called to live. And the way that they lived together, the way that they served each other, the way that they were sacrificial, the way that they spurred one another on, the way that they met needs in their community, it just was compelling. And people that were like, man, I don't know if I believe everything that they believe, but the way that they live and the way that they do life together, I want in. It's key foundational scripture number two, that there's this way that as Christians and Christ followers that we're supposed to be in community and relationship that impacts our community and relationships. Third key scripture is like, what is, or who is this for, and what is this about? Like Luke 15, if you like pin me down or like, what's your favorite chapter in the Bible? I get asked that some. I know, again, my job is weird. I'm sorry. If you made me pick, Luke 15 is the one that I would pick, because it tells us, like, Jesus is trying to say exactly what God is like. It's one of my favorite chapters of the Bible of all time. Maybe you've heard about it. It's like three stories that Jesus tells about lost things. And so he's telling it to really religious people that are sitting in the back and judging everybody because religious people have changed so much. And then he's telling it to people that are real close to him that are like nothing like him and like the moral outcasts of the day. So the moral outcasts of the day were fine hanging with Jesus, and he was fine hanging with them, and the religious people were cynical about what was going on right here. And then Jesus tells this story. He says this. So the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. If you work for the IRS, I'm sorry, we love you too. You're in. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, that's the religious people in the back, they muttered that this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. That's the most scandalous thing that they could say about Jesus. And if you have scandalous stuff to say about Jesus, or you don't know Jesus, or you haven't read his biographies, I'm telling you, he was so compelling. The most scandalous thing that religious people that thought they were better than everyone else could say about Jesus is he hung out with people that were nothing like him. And if he was God with skin on and who he says, he wouldn't be hanging out with them. And Jesus is going, this is exactly who God sent me to rescue and save and hang out with. So he tells them this story. And Jesus told him this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? So stop there for a second. I'm like, 100 and you lose one, that's like breakage and spillage. Like, that's just like the cost of doing business. Like, you're going to, like, he, you know, Jesus is going, don't you all go find that lost sheep? And I'm thinking, if I'm a shepherd in the day, I'm like, 99% retention rate's pretty good. Like, we're good. Like, I don't want to put these guys at risk for that one. And that's the idiot sheep anyway. Like, that one's, he's going to run away again. No one likes that sheep. Like, it's extra grace required sheep. Like, I mean, like, we're trying to trade him out anyway and get another sheep and trying to settle him off, you know. So Jesus is going, don't you go after it? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't think, he seemed to think that you would. So, and when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. So hold here for a second. I'm like, I don't do that. I would be annoyed. I've read this like part of the Bible for a long time, and the joyfully part I didn't catch till a couple years ago. Because I'm like, God, it would be so annoyed at the people that keep running away. Or I would be annoyed. I'm like, oh, stupid, dumb sheep did it again. I'm gonna go just grab that thing. Oh, idiots, don't do that again. I'm so, you know, you're like, you're talking them like the whole way. Like, you're just, like, giving them a lecture back to the herd. Like, stay here. Don't do anything else that they don't do. Don't be dumb, right? It doesn't end well. But that's not the way that Jesus says this shepherd is. It's joyfully brings it back because that's what God is like. Check this out. Then he calls his friends together and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, this is cool, because this Jesus, remember, is telling these stories to people that are nothing like Jesus and really hyper-religious people because he wants us to know what God is like. I tell you that in the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. One is greater than 99. That is terrible math. But it is great view of who God is and who the church is supposed to be and where we live, work, and play, what we're supposed to be about. So let me just draw this picture a little bit better for us. So if we were to take those verses and kind of put a frame around how mission the organization works, but I would even say how us as individuals following Jesus on our own, where we live, work, and play, how does it work? Like, what are we supposed to do next? Like, what is this life about? Like, do I just get my get out of hell free card and move on, you know, and just make sure I have that when I die in my pocket somewhere and I get to skip past all the stuff? Is that what this life is about? No. How does this work? And so we talk about catalytic gatherings and life-changing relationships and surrendered livings all centered around that the one is greater than the 99. And we want to make sure, like, we got these key verses right here. We also got the prayer and the Holy Spirit over there. We'll talk about that in a second. But this is like every Christian, every church, we live this out. So when we're talking about catalytic gatherings, it's gatherings that create spiritual movement. So you're thinking about, why would we gather? Why do we do these things? Because there's this way that happened that God seemed to, when we gathered together as a people of God, spiritual stuff happened, and he started drawing people to himself and then sending people out to impact the world. So it's these catalytic gatherings, like the weekend, they create spiritual movement and spiritual next steps in people's lives. And so I don't know if you've been figuring it out, but our weekend catalytic gatherings are a little tight right now. And that's good in the summer. And we're headed into fall. So it got us thinking, like if you're sitting in the lobby now, you know there's not, if a family of three walked in to sit down, there's not a lot of space to be sitting in the lobby. And there's not a lot of space in our services. So just so you know, the catalytic gathering we're talking about for our weekend service, we are adding another one starting like August 27th. So we're going to have some new service times. I know you're like, well, I just got used to this one. That's all right. And we'll have coffee at the new ones. So it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. But we're moving. So August 27th, we'll tell you, if you're serving on a team, you already know this, but start thinking about over the next month, 9 a.m., 10:30, noon, and 6, so we can invite people to those catalytic gatherings. In fact, there's a fall launch coming up August 27th, and you're going to see how mission works. Like, everything kicks off. A fall kickoff is starting. Student ministry stuff, kids stuff. There's going to be parties. There's going to be new service times. There's going to be group launches that are happening. I mean, we're kicking off, so get this, like, gear up, locker room talk as the organization and the church together, but also as the individual being the church. Let's do that, the catalytic gathering. We're talking about what's coming this fall, Spark. And you're like, I don't know, are we starting fires again? I don't know what that means. So let me just, most of us don't even know what Spark is. So Spark is a women's event that we haven't done for years because of the gathering parts that we had for some, there was some pandemic that happened. So we've had to figure out how to navigate Spark. So Spark is coming back, and this is something that you're going to, ladies, this is something that you're going to want to invite your whole world to, and it's coming back. Fellas, men's events are coming. Men's can't be told when they're going to meet yet because we don't want to be under control of anyone. I'll meet when I want to meet. We'll meet when we want. But it's coming. So like when that happens, fellas, be a part of that. So when we're talking about these catalytic gatherings that we have, parents, get your kids and mission students, get your kids and students. There's stuff that happens when we gather together as the church, as the people that God creates spiritual movement. So the catalytic gatherings that we offer around here are really, really important for us individually and us corporately. Do you see how that works? Then we're always, if you don't know this about mission yet, you're going to figure it out. We're dying to make it easy for people to get connected into spiritual life-changing relationships, into groups of people where you have your people that you know and they know you, that you serve and they're serving you, that you love and they're loving you, that you're challenging each other, that you're growing spiritually, that you have some intentionality in your life, not just boys you hang with that'll let you do whatever you want, but people that are on the same path with you, that are moving towards what God has for your life, the best version of yourself. And those life-changing relationships, we as a church will always be fighting to get people connected into those. Because we need people. Like God ordained it and worked it that way where we need people. That's why every time we do a group run, we make it easy to be a part of. That's why we've said if you haven't been connected into community, Tuesday nights when we start our Tuesday night groups and when those are running, it is a great place to get connected to find your people because we got to find those life-changing relationships. And in those like Tuesday night gatherings, there's message-based conversations where we're engaging together about what we've heard and kind of what does God have for us? What do we do about it? What do we remember about it? What do we understand? What do we like? What scripture? What observations do we have? What application do we have? And what can we pray about? It's not super complicated, but God shows up when we're in intentional life-changing relationships like that. And we have rooted groups that happen, message-based discussion. Rooted is like a journey where you're like, man, I'm trying to get like my faith, like I don't have it all figured out, but I want to be like rooted and grounded in what God says and who he says that I am and some of the like the practices that would help me grow. And a rooted group is a great place to start. If you haven't joined rooted or got into a rooted group, it's a great place to start to get into life-changing relationships. There's also change groups that we offer. It's kind of like on the In-N-Out secret menu. But if you're serious about, like, I want to change, and I've got some hurts or habits or hang-ups, and I don't know what to do with them, change group is a high-commitment, high-time thing. But if you really want to change, a change group will help you walk through everything that you need to change. And you got to go about it and check that out. So life-changing relationships, not just us as a church, but us as individuals. Where am I in community? Where am I connected? Who is sharpening me spiritually, and who am I spiritually sharpening on a consistent basis? Because there was this way in Acts 2. Let's go back here. Let's go back to the whole chart thing. There was this way in Acts 2, if you remember, that people lived that had an impact on the world and changed everything. And then there's this surrendered living piece. It's this idea of like how we live matters. It's why we plant churches up and down the coast. That's why, like what we talked about last week, the Ojai church plant is coming. That's why we want to keep planting churches. They actually have a gathering today. It's like a pre-gathering, and they're going to launch in September. We can't wait for that. It's why we announce Free Friday Flicks. That's why we go after all these things, and that's why I have another amazing announcement to talk about today, like us as individuals, but us as a church, that Night to Remember is coming this spring. So we're pumped about that. And what you don't know, most of us don't know is that Night to Remember, you're like, I don't even know what that was. So let me tell you what Night to Remember is. Night to Remember is a night you won't forget. Sorry, just kidding. Night to Remember is a free prom that Mission throws for special needs students in our communities, right? It is amazing. It's coming this spring. You're going to want to be a part of it, but we want to be people of good news, not expecting anything back, because that's how the church lives and has influence in our world. If you think about it, it's a free prom, special needs prom, with guests and hosts and red carpet and tuxes and limos and paparazzi. And I mean, it's off the hook. I mean, it is amazing. It's a thing that you are not going to want to miss. We're going to talk so much more about it, but you're not going to want to miss it. And you want to be a part of that, because there's this way that we live generously, and there's this way that we live that has an impact on our world. Let me go back to this too. So you got this catalytic gatherings, you got life-changing relationships, and you got surrendered living. But what happens in the middle of it is that one is greater than 99. That if our ones, the people that we're praying for in our life, that need the hope that only Jesus can offer, if they're not attending, if we're not inviting them to our catalytic gatherings, we need to be inviting them into our groups, and we need to invite them into live surrendered lives, because it's the best possible way to live. Like, that's what we're going to be about together. And I just want to let you know, we don't talk about this a ton, but since January of 2021, here at Mission, we've been able to baptize over 600 people that are like lost to found. I mean, that's incredible, guys. I mean, I know that you think that's normal, but that's not normal. Over the life of Mission, we've been able to baptize 1,500 people from lost to found. That's crazy. And we've existed for like 12 years, but over the last two years, we've been able to baptize more than a third of that, 600 people. So it's almost like everyone around here that I'm talking about all the stuff we just talked about, they're like, I don't even know what that is. I just got baptized here. So I don't know. Just tell me what to do next. Just tell me. So that's what we're going after, but it's all centered around the prayer and the Holy Spirit. Let me go back to that. So I don't have anything for you today other than, man, I hope you have a vision for your life that's about this kind of life, and a vision for our church that's about this kind of vision for our church and our community. So what I would ask for you is that we would be people that are centered on prayer and the Holy Spirit. So on next to you, there's nothing we're going to ask from you. We're just asking, would you be able to start praying for some of these things with us as a church? So on the side, there's little baskets. Would you just pass this down? It's got a QR code on the back, and it's just got questions that I'll show you on the screen, so you don't have to be nervous about taking it. This is what's on here. Just questions that we could be asking ourselves. Like, put this somewhere where you'll remember it. Who am I praying for? Like, who are my ones? Who am I inviting? Where am I serving? Where am I connecting and growing? And then there's things that to be praying about down here, just some of the stuff that we just mentioned. Man, be praying about that stuff. So I just want to wrap up here and talk about why being the church matters. Can you just give me some time? Would that be all right? Because I wouldn't pretend to know your story. I wouldn't pretend to know what's going on. I just want you to know why being the church matters individually and together. Like, it's been a month for me, personally. Like, I've been to at least two funerals of people that I'm connected to at Mission that have died in some really sad and tragic ways. Guy in my rooted group passed. So this isn't a game that we play to make ourselves more presentable to God so that when we get that final test of judgment day that we get to get in and hope he grades on a curve. Like, eternities and lives are at stake. Us being the church. Us being sold out followers of Jesus. No matter what our occupation is, that our calling is to live as called out ones who are rescued and saved, and extend in our worlds where we live, work, and play the hope that only comes from Jesus Christ. Because without that, we're all sunk. Again, I don't know your story, and I don't know what your view is about church or Christians. And if this is your first day at Mission, welcome to it. But man, I want you to live a life worthy of the calling that you've received as a rescued son or daughter. Why don't you pray with me? God, you are good, and you are great, and you rescue and save. And God, we get just so distracted with all the stuff we got going on and our schedules of full of good things and stress and anxiety that we have for of our lives and things that we've got to take care of. And it's all good and right, but God, would you help us not get distracted from the main mission that you've called us to? That you've rescued us. You set our feet on solid ground. And you've sent us into this world to be like an ambassador that your way is best and that you are good and kind. And we are imperfect, and you know that, but you've used us anyway and called us to that anyway. And we love you for it. God, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.